Is your future and your fate predetermined, or do you have a say in the matter? Predestination, Strong's Concordance number 4309, pro rizo, to establish boundaries or limits. Predestination, pro rizo, speaks of God's decisive appointment of events and people to their ordained end. The verb is consistently used of divine initiative that unfolds in time what was settled in eternity. Whether the subject is salvation, adoption, glorification, or the very death of Jesus Christ, the word frames history as the outworking of God's purposeful counsel. Through its six appearances, Strong's number 4309 unveils a God who lovingly, wisely, and effectively determines the destiny of His Son, His people, and history itself. The Church's confidence, worship, mission, and hope all rest on this firm foundation. The plan of the Lord stands forever, the purposes of His heart to all generations. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Romans 8:30, and these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Ephesians 1:11, in Him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things in accordance with the plan of His will. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen, elected. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen, elected, you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. 2 Timothy 2:10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, elected, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. Now, in context. Matthew 18:14, so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven for one of these little ones to perish. Matthew 18:14 in context. Matthew 18:12-13, what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains, and go and search for the one that is lost? And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven for one of these little ones to perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 in context. John 3:16-21, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged, the one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 in context. 2 Peter 3:9-14, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him, at peace, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Context and definitions. John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. Will draw. Helkiso. Strong's 1670, to drag, draw, pull, persuade, unsheathe. The term draw indicates an irresistible attraction or pulling power, suggesting the universal scope of Jesus' redemptive work. This aligns with the prophecy in Isaiah 49:6, where the servant of the Lord is a light to the nations, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. The use of everyone underscores the inclusivity of the gospel, breaking cultural and ethnic barriers, as seen in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, and the vision of a diverse multitude in Revelation 7:9. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection are the means by which he draws all people, offering salvation to anyone who believes in him. All, men. Strong's 3956, all, the whole, every kind of. Including all the forms of declension, apparently a primary word, all, any, every, the whole. Myself. Strong's 1683, of myself. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called. This phrase highlights the broad invitation of the gospel. In the context of Matthew 22, Jesus is speaking about the parable of the wedding banquet, where many guests are invited. The calling refers to the general invitation to salvation extended to all humanity. This aligns with the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus instructs his disciples to make disciples of all nations. Historically, this reflects the Jewish understanding of being God's chosen people, yet Jesus expands this to include Gentiles, emphasizing the universal reach of God's call. But few are chosen. This part of the verse underscores the distinction between being called and being chosen. While many hear the gospel, only a few respond in faith and obedience, demonstrating the transformative work of God in their lives. This echoes the concept of the remnant found in the Old Testament, where only a faithful few remain true to God, Isaiah 10:22. Theologically, this can be connected to the doctrine of election, where God, in his sovereignty, chooses individuals for salvation, Ephesians 1:4-5. It also reflects the parable's context, where many invited guests refuse to attend the wedding, symbolizing those who reject God's invitation. This phrase challenges believers to examine their response to God's call and to live in a manner worthy of being chosen. Chosen, elected. Electos. Strong's 1588, from eklagamai, select, by implication, favorite. Picked out, chosen by God, to obtain salvation through Christ. Christians are called chosen or elect of God, the Messiah is called elect, as appointed by God to the most exalted office conceivable, choice, select, i.e. the best of its kind or class, excellence preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. What can make this a difficult concept to grasp is our preconceived notion or understanding of God's omniscience. God knows all things at all times. God calls all people to himself and he knows which ones will respond in faith to his call, therefore, those who will one day respond to his calling and will submit themselves, by faith, to accept the call and become Christians, they are the elect. They are the predestined ones. God calls all people to himself. God draws all people to himself. Only the elect and the predestined, those who choose to receive and accept God's call, will be saved. Universal call. The phrase all men indicates the inclusive nature of the gospel. Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for all, and his call extends to every person, regardless of background. Response to the call. While Jesus draws all men, individuals must respond to his call. This involves faith and repentance, turning towards Jesus as Savior and Lord. In conclusion, if God has preordained or predestined all things for all people, then why pray? Why witness? Why evangelize? Early church fathers linked the term to God's foreordained plan but retained room for human responsibility. Augustine insisted that predestination is rooted solely in God's grace, a view strengthened by the reformers, who saw in predestination, proorizo, the biblical foundation for unconditional election. Post-Reformation debates, especially between Reformed and Arminian theologians, turned on whether predestination is conditioned on foreseen faith or unconditioned by any human factor. Yet both streams treated the verb as affirming God's right to order salvation. Unconditional election is a theological concept in Calvinism that teaches God chooses certain individuals for salvation based solely on his sovereign will, without any conditions or merits on the part of those chosen. This doctrine emphasizes that God's decision to save is not influenced by any actions or faith of the individuals but is entirely an act of His grace. The Arminian view of predestination holds that God has decreed to save those who believe in Christ, with this election being based on God's foreknowledge of their faith. Unlike Calvinism, which teaches unconditional election, Arminianism emphasizes that individuals have the free will to accept or reject God's grace. American Baptist Churches, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, Free Will Baptists, United Methodist Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, Free Methodist Church, Assemblies of God, Church of God, Cleveland, TN, Foursquare Church, Mennonite Church, Brethren in Christ, Evangelical Friends International, Church of the Nazarene, Wesleyan Church, Salvation Army. From gotchristians.org, there are several common misconceptions about unconditional election. First, it is important to understand that the doctrine does not teach that God's choice is capricious or arbitrary. It is not random or made without reason. What it does teach is that God elects someone to salvation not because of something worthy God finds in that individual but because of His inscrutable, mysterious will. He makes the choice as to who will be saved for His own reasons, according to His own perfect will and for His own good pleasure, Ephesians 1:5. And while some object to the doctrine of election as being unfair, it is nevertheless based upon God's will and it pleases God, therefore, it must be good and perfectly just. Another misconception is that unconditional election precludes and stifles evangelism, but the reality is just the opposite, it empowers and confirms it. When one correctly understands that God has not only elected certain individuals to salvation but also has ordained the means of salvation, the preaching of the gospel, Romans 1:16, Romans 10:14-17, it empowers the spreading of the gospel message and the call to evangelism. We see this very thing in Paul's writing to Timothy in the midst of deep persecution. I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. A proper understanding of the doctrine of election encourages evangelism and guarantees its success. It overcomes the fear of failure when sharing the gospel and empowers people to remain faithful to the message in times of great persecution. They know that the power lies in the gospel message and in God's sovereign election and not in their own feeble presentation. A biblical understanding of election helps one share the gospel freely with all people, knowing that any one of them could be Christ's sheep whom He is calling into His fold, John 10:16. It is not up to us to determine if someone is elect or non-elect, and there is always the promise of salvation for anyone who will repent and believe in Christ. The gospel message should be preached to all people in the knowledge that God will use it to draw His sheep to Himself. Unconditional election also does not mean that there will be people in heaven who do not want to be there, nor will there be people in hell who wanted to be saved but could not be because they were not elect. Unconditional election properly recognizes that, apart from God's supernatural work in the life of a sinner, men will always choose to reject God and rebel against Him. See the article on total depravity for more information on this subject. What unconditional election does correctly recognize is that God intervenes in the lives of the elect and works in their lives through the Holy Spirit so that they willingly respond in faith to Him. Because they are His sheep, they hear His voice and follow Him, John 10:1-30. As for the non-elect, God is still gracious to them, but because of their sin they are not thankful for that grace, nor do they acknowledge Him as God, Romans 1:18-20. Consequently, they receive the just punishment due them. Those whom God elects are beneficiaries of His sovereign grace and mercy, and those whom He does not elect receive the justice they have earned. While the elect receive God's perfect grace, the non-elect receive God's perfect justice. Either way, 1 Peter 1:1 Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Verse 7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. and though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Your brother and friend, Mike Young.